Whatever, we'll have part two of it. All right, so here we go. So it's the structure of it is telling us that it is a independent story. So what is it exactly? So this is what Rabbi Israel suggests. He says that within this story, right, if you look at the next source, we're back in Chet Pasuk Aleph, Vayizkor Elokim et Noach. So the middle piece of it is God remembered. God remembered in the middle of all this. What is in the middle of all this? So Rabbi Israel suggests that actually when God destroyed the world, it is not only a decreation, but it is a recreation. Right? God removes the world, takes it apart piece by piece, and then what does God do right after that? God rebuilds the world. Now, I hope that you'll like this part of it. There's a little bit of it that's like a stretch, but I think a lot of it is pretty straight up. If I had wanted to make it into two pages, and it wasn't 4:45 in the morning when I made these makoros, I would have put the psukim side by side with it. But take a look at this and see if you can find the words of creation in these psukim. Right, so God remembers Noach and the animals that are with him on the teva. And God made wind on the land, and the water subsided. Anything yet?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So let's hold off on Chaya Behema and because that's what's in the teva. Right, but Vayaver Elokim Ruach ala Aretz. What's going on outside of the Teva is Vayaver Elokim Ruach ala Aretz. For Ruach Elokim Erach Chefet al Pnei Amayim. That's what day one looked like. Pasuk Bet Vayisakru Mayanot Tohom Varubot Hashemayim. Right, the deep recesses of water in the earth and the Arubot Hashemayim. Right, the heavenly reserves of water were closed up. And the rain stopped in the sky. What does that sound like? Right, what happened on the second day is God took all the water, he said, I'm burying the water in the earth, and I'm burying the water in the heavens. Pasuk, hey. V'amayim hayu haloch v'chasor ad ha-chodesh ha-asiri v'asir v'echad l'chodesh niru rashei he-harim. So the water went down and down and down until the 10th month, the 10th month, in the first day of the month, Niru Rashi Arim, the tops of the mountains were visible. So that's where you'll say, I don't love it, because Harim, that's your reference to day three. But yeah, what did God create on the third day? He created land, and the Harim are amongst the land masses. The Yonah came le'eit erev, in the evening time. So Rabbi Israel quotes from Rabbi Joshua Berman, this whole piece, and he says, le'eit erev is nighttime. What happens, when is the first time really that we have a clear definition of day and night?
The fourth day,
right? When God said, sun, you do your job, moon, you do your job. Now, this is where I feel like I have to be very honest. That was Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're now going back to Pasuk Vav. I only say that because I had two problems with this shiur. This was one, and then there was one other one. But all right, so this is Pasuk Vav. Noach opens up the window of the teva. Vayishalach et ha'orev. He sends out the orev. So my problem with that is that, I mean, the orev is a bird. That's the fifth day. That's fine. But day four and day five are reversed. And he went back and forth. Now, what you can do is that if you wanted, you could look and say le'eit erev, and there is the Yonah after that. So if you really wanted to play and have a good time and say, like, this is fair, you could just say we have le'eit erev, and then we have the Yonah afterwards. I didn't want to do that because, A, I didn't think that was honest. B, the Yonah also comes before Le'et Erev. And more than that, this is Rabbi Berman's, like...
You came before all this. They're all on the table.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying the way the psukim... No, but that's what's in the teva. This is what's going on outside the
teva. But you could say he wasn't. Like you said, he was in the teva. Eight Erev, he left the teva. Eight Erev is already next day. Because it's already Erev.
So I don't have a chumash in front of me to, like, look at all Pasuk Yud Aleph to know if the Yonah was out or not. Because in Pasuk Yud, Vayusef Shalach the Yonah min HaTeva, he sent the Yonah out.
Right.
So, yeah, whatever. I'm just... Yeah.
You take your chiastic structure and say that the first 40 and second 40 can, like, go into the change. Well, is it just as much as anything else?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, you could try to find something. They're all there. It's just day 4 and day 5 are out of order. Now those words, there's a lot of stuff in there. Shartzu, faru v'ravu, all the different animals. That's clearly day 6. Vayvarech Elokim et Noach v'banav. God blessed Noach and his sons, right? We have that also. God blesses man. Vayomer lam pru ravu milu et haaretz. God says, I want you to procreate and fill the land. The fear of the animals will be on you. What does God tell Adam? What are you supposed to do? I want you to name them, but you're going to, what's your job? Go down and what do I want you to do? Capture it. You're supposed to be the dominant force on the planet. And everything is your seed. But you can't eat the flesh of the animals. And also, you can't kill people, right? If you kill people, God will come after you. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishapech. That's quite a pasuk, right? If you spill the blood of man, on man the blood will be spilled. Ki betzelem elokim asat adam. That's God's message, right? Because you were created betzelem elokim. But that's totally from Bereishis creation. God says, what do I want you to do? Go procreate. Fill the land. It's the 7 days of creation. All there. All right, maybe we fetched a little bit in there, but it's hard to look at these psukim in their totality and not recognize that God is sending us a message here, right? There is the story, but like hidden in the text, is this subplot. God destroys the world. But it's not just destroying. God is going and saying, I want to after I decreate, I want to recreate. That's really, really, really important in this story. And now, I think the kicker, which really proves it, is God says, Od kol yemei ha'aretz zera v'katzir v'kor v'chom v'kaitz v'chor v'yom v'lai lo yishpotu. I want you to know that from now on, never again will the seasons cease, right? They are going to be consistent, and they'll all be. Rashi points out, lo yishpotu michlal sheshavtu kol yomot ha-mabul. The implication of that is that during the mabul, day and night, seasons all stopped existing. Shaloshim shua mal zalov l'nikar ben yom v'layla. So the world during the Mabul went back to what? Tohu vavohu. And God says, now let's rebuild it. So let's hold on to all of that. And now let's take a look at another story. This is, Noach was 600 during the Teva. We don't know much about the first 600 years of Noach's life. We know that he's 600 during the Mabul. He's 500 when he starts having kids. That means the first 500 years of his life are basically uneventful, other than the fact that midrashically, when he was 480, he started building the teva.
And he developed a plow.
That right. Well, if we're gonna go midrashically, right? Yeah, he does that too. So those are like the things that we know about him. Now he's 601. He comes off the teva. He's gonna live. We're gonna find out. He lives to be 950. There's 350 more years of his life. What do we know about his life? One story. So I want to try to figure out what. What do you mean?
No, the story after.
Post teva.
Right. I'm saying, post teva, there's one big story, right? I thought you meant there's two parts to that story. Right. Yeah. The Mabul, for 100%. The Mabul, without a doubt, that's like his big moment, right? But then we have like this one story afterwards. So let's take a look at that last story. Vayihu b'nei Noach hayotzim min ha-teva shem v'cham v'yafet hu avikanan. The sons of Noah coming out of the Teva are Shem, Cham, and Yafet. Cham is the father of Canaan. Now, how immediately this story happens is definitely a little tricky for a couple of reasons. Canaan is the fourth son of Cham. So if Canaan already like was born, unless he had quadruplets, it's going to be a hard one on that one. Also, growing things in the ground to make a nut, right, to have grapes that are, I assume, good enough, and maybe like his, you know, at this point in time, like his selection of wine wasn't so great, but I would imagine even to get something that you could turn into like a bottle of wine, it's gonna take also a little bit of time. So and then Cham has a son named Canaan.
It doesn't say that.
V'cham hu avi Canaan.
That's what it says.
Maybe that's just telling you the future.
Right. It says.
Yeah. No. That's fine. But if he's going to, we're going to see the end of the son. The end of the story, he curses Canaan. So like you would have to think that Canaan is alive already. Now you could tell me it's not true. He wasn't alive. But and there are times in Tanakh where like there are prophetic visions of like people in the future, but I don't know. I struggle with that a little bit. Yeah, I'm saying like I don't think it had to happen overnight. Like I think this is how we picture it. He like begrudgingly comes out of the teva. I think that's like pretty clear. Like you can see God is like, Noach, it's time to go. Okay, Noach, I want you to go and hold your wife's hand and walk out so your sons can walk out with their wives. Come and move it. And Noach's like, boys, we're going to walk out together, women behind us. Not because Noach was like, you know, an anti-feminist or whatever you want to call him. No, Noach is like, I don't want to have children. I don't want anymore. Like, I'm done, right? In fact, I would rather stay in the teva. I'm more comfortable with that. So, God wants you to know that the entire world comes from all this, from all these boys. So, like, we can all know, we're all related to...
Again, 500 years old.
Say it one more time.
Enjoy that all over again at 500 years old.
Yeah, I mean, So the Medrash says that Noach had, that Cham, like the Orev, procreated on the Teva. No, so they went into the Teva with no kids.
I know.
So Cham could have had a kid on the Teva.
But
it wouldn't be Canaan unless he had quadruplets.
Because
Canaan is number four.
Did he have any kids?
He's the fourth kid of Cham. So like, again, like, but I'm okay. I mean, I'm, whatever. I put it like this. I'm not really comfortable with Bereishis and Noach in general. Like, I have a hard time with it. And, like, we had this discussion after Maariv one day this week. Like, do you believe, but are we supposed to accept Bereishis and Noach as literal stories or not? And then, you get all, like, it gets complicated because there are, like, rabbinic people, like, that are within, like, orthodoxy, that will tell you that Bereishis and Noach is not clear that they happened. But then, like, where do you draw the line? Like, Did Migdal Bavel happen? Maybe not. Did Avraham happen? So I like this. My feeling is, and not because this is based on like my scholarship, not at all. My feeling is I'm just comfortable saying that Bereishis Noah happened. It's easier for me to accept that they happened with a lot of big questions. I mean, like, it's a good question that one of my neighbors said. He's like, how did they feed all the animals on the table? Not from food-wise. Like, if you look at the food chain, right, like, certain animals, what they would have had to eat on the teva would mean that you weren't bringing two by two on the teva. He's like, how do you...
They didn't watch the movie? They drugged them, and they slept. They all hibernated on the teva. That's how they did it, because they couldn't fit the food.
I don't know. They're hard stories. So I look and say, like, somehow, like, we're going to... Miracles, lots of other things, fine. But I don't need the story to be immediately afterwards. But what happens? From the entire planet comes from them, and then what happens? Vayachel Noach Isha Adama, Vayita Karem. Noach is the man of the earth, and he plants a vineyard. Vayita Karem. Okay. Vayesht min ayayin vayishkar vayitgal betoch oholo. He drinks from the wine that he made, he gets drunk, and he tosses himself around. Right? He rolls around naked, betoch ahalo, inside his tent. Okay. So, this is where we're going to take a little bit of a leap of faith. This is my question: if Perek Chet and Perek Zayin are the decreation and the recreation of the world. The world was just created. And now we get up to this story, the middle of, right, what story could this be? Yeah. Noach in where? Gan Eden. Now, if you're going to tell me that I'm like, that's a little bit like crazy, so let's look at the words. Pasuk Chaf, Vayachal Noach Ish Ha'adama. Well, what does that sound like? Adam, Vayita Karim is the best one of all, right? Vayita Gan be'Eden, right? God planted a Gan in Eden. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Eitz Hadas was what? Geffen. It was wine. And then he's naked, right? He's rolling around naked. Adam and Chava were naked. So what's the story here?
And they had three sons.
Right. So we're like in a good place here if we want to argue that this is Gan Eden. Now, the easier answer, which we've done in the past, is no. Like, you're barking up the wrong tree with this. And let's just go. I didn't even do that on purpose. And the Abarbanel says, no, this is what happened. And I really believe it could be true. Because in my 7 months of walking around West Hempstead since COVID started, I want you to know that on Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings, the amount of alcohol that's consumed in West Hempstead as per the recycle bins is unbelievable.
Which one are you going for, Tuesday or Thursday?
You know, it's hard to say. I'm going to...
I think it's close. That's believe, problematic.
Well, no, it's Tuesday. No, Tuesday is our side of town. Is like, I don't know what this side of town is, but like by me, Tuesday is recycle, and in Dogwood, it's Thursday. All right, so I'm going to start looking. I'm going to take note to see if they drink more in Dogwood or in this part of West Hempstead. It's one pickup a week. I walked around West Hempstead pre-COVID. The recycle bins were like, there's also a lot more dvash milk. A lot more dvash milk. Right? But okay, that's the, anybody that gets the free food from whatever. All right. So, but it's crazy. But it's not so crazy. Because the New York Times confirmed it this week when I read an article about how people are COVIDed out and they're just fried and they're giving up and they just can't do it anymore. And they said, and that is with the staggering amount of alcohol, like increase in sales, over the last 7 months.
Well, alcohol was an essential service from early on, by
right.
the way.
Right, so the Abarbanel, has a simple answer. He says, Noach looks when he comes out of the Teva and says, God, how could it be? Right, the planet that I left is not the planet I'm coming back to. Right, remember, when Adam came into Gan Eden, what did it look like? Full service. It was a beautiful garden. When Noah comes out of the Teva, what does it look like? Right? It's just one big mound. Maybe, I mean, there must have been some stuff that started to grow because the Yonah Matzama Noach, and then Tarav Zayit Befia. So that's the Abarbanel, but Rabbi Alex Israel says, no, it's so much more. What was Noach trying to do? Noach was trying to recreate Gan Eden. What Noach was trying to say was, the world, the Gan, the idea that we could have somewhat of a virtual world was lost when Adam sinned. I'm going to go back there. The only problem is that God's not providing me with it. So I'm going to make it. How am I going to make it? Vayita Karem, he plants the vineyard. And he consumes the wine. But why? Why does he drink the wine? I thought this was the best twist in it. Before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, what didn't he have? Right, he didn't have Das. He didn't know the difference. What happens when you become drunk? He's returning to that state where you don't know what's going on. That's what he's trying to do. So then what happens? Vayar Cham avi kenan et ervat avi vayegei l'shnecha b'chutz. Cham sees it. He sees the nakedness of his father vayegei l'shnecha b'chutz, and he tells his two brothers outside. Vaykach shem vayefet et asimla vayesimu ashchem shneihem. Shem and Yefet, they take the clothing, and what do? They put it on their shoulders and they walk backwards. They cover the nakedness of their father, and their faces are facing the other way. They didn't see their father's nakedness. Noach wakes up from his wine, and he knows what his son did to him. He curses Canaan and says, you'll be a slave to your brothers. And he says, blessed be the God of shame, and Canaan will be his servant forever. God will bring beauty to Yefet, and they will live in the tents of shame. And Canaan will be his servants as well. This is actually a little bit fascinating because for the most part, the way the world divided is, Cham becomes Africa, Shem becomes the Middle East and maybe Asia, and largely Yefet becomes Europe. So how did the slave route work? It was the Middle Eastern Arabs that came and did what? They sold the African slaves to where?
Europe.
To the Europeans. So it like really is. It's you. I mean, you see the kiyum of this curse. Vayichi Noach achar amabul 350 more years. Vayichi kol menoach 950 shana vayamot. Noach lives to be 950 and he dies. All right. So what happens? We're in Gan Eden, right? Noach has created Gan Eden. And what disturbs him?
Children.
Which one? So it seems like Cham disturbs him, right? Cham says to him, so according to Rabbi Alex Israel, Cham is saying to him, but it can't be that way. You can't have this virtual world. Like, we're Aiden happened already, right? Like, we've moved on. We have to live in the real world. And so, what ends up happening is, Noach, unfortunately, loses the opportunity for this world that he's trying to build for himself. I think it's an amazing pshat. There's only one problem with it. I don't think it's such a small problem, but there is one problem with it. If this pshat is correct, why does Canaan get cursed? Canaan, to me, appears to be the hero of the story. So if you're going to tell me that it's just because Noach has upset him, that's a really powerful curse that lasts many thousands of years. It just doesn't seem fair. I don't have an answer to that. But this morning, as I was like writing the notes, I was upset at myself that I didn't think of this question yesterday when I could have chatted it in at the shir I went to by Rabbi Israel, and he could have passively answered it. So I emailed him, and I was hoping, it was like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon in Israel, I was hoping that there would be an answer before 8:45 tonight. But there is no answer yet. So I feel like I have to be honest and at least put that out as a big question on his thought. But nonetheless, it's something to think about.
Well, the pasuk is different. It says, Vayeda et asher asa lo b'no ha-katan. He did something to him. It wasn't just that he looked at him.
Yeah, but what did he do?
So there are a lot of different opinions about that. One of them is that the fact that you said earlier Noach didn't want to have any more children fits into one of the Midrashim or one of the commentaries I read years ago that Ham also didn't want him to have any more children.
Right, so Rashi quotes that. The thing is that Rashi says that Noach wanted a fourth son, and there's two possibilities. Rashi says either Serso, he castrated him, which would, you know, prevent him from having kids. The other possibility is he sodomized him. I don't know if that would necessarily, you know, damage him that he couldn't. Although maybe after that he was so shaken that he decided that he was done. We did this like a lot of years ago, like towards the very beginning of the Chabura, a thought that it says, where did Noach goes? That if you read the Pasuk, it says, Vayesht min ayayin vayishkar. And the Vaitgal Batoch Ahalo. There's a lot of like hanging pronouns there. Who's all the he's, right? And he got drunk, and he drank the wine. He got drunk. He rolled around naked, Batoch Ahalo, in her tent.
Her or his?
Batoch Ahalo. It's a hey at the end. If it was his tent, it'd be Ahalo with a vav. Ahalo. Okay, So Rashi says it's midrashically connecting to Ahala, which is a reference to Bnei Yisrael and when they were destroyed and they were disgraced and whatever. There is a possibility that someone, one of Noach, either Ham or one of Ham's sons, Vaitgal B'toch Ahalo, got naked inside the tent, inside her tent, inside Noach's wife, their mother's tent. And after that, right, so that would prevent, Noach was like, okay, well, now I can't sleep with my wife anymore because my kid did. So that's another possibility. But what does it mean? Vayeda ita sherasalo b'noach katan. It could, if you're going to read this whole thing through, it could be that what his son did was, his son like tried to destroy his vision of what this, you know, new world could be.
Whatever it is. At the end of the day, it's how it was done. You could say he's the hero because he wanted to snap him out of this delusional state and say, this is the real world, and we got to fix this world, and we got to do our job in this world. But at the end of the day, it's his father or grandfather, and he had to do it respectfully, and he didn't do it in a respectful way. Either he took advantage of it when he was drunk, or he stuck around behind his back when he was drunk, or whatever interpretation you want to do, it's underhanded. It's not done becovered, and that's what he's upset about.
But also, I think, I was thinking that this is symptomatic of what Noah was like pre-model, meaning that for all those years he was building the Teva, he he really wasn't too proactive about going out and trying to get people to do tshuva. So we had this idea. It was a singular idea, or let's say a selfish. He was doing something for himself. So same thing over here. If he's trying to recreate some sort of Aiden world, he didn't bring his children into the project. He did it. It was selfish, and because he wasn't communicating that idea to his kids didn't get it.
All right. It still seems like a pretty strong curse under the circumstances. I feel that the question is a fair one to put out there. It's good to have a discussion about it. You know, obviously, feel free to continue to brainstorm and share. But that was, usually I like to be able to walk away from a chabura saying, here's a nice thought. I think we did a good job of closing up all the loose ends. I think we left a pretty big loose end tonight. So if I get an answer from Rabbi Israel, I'll share. If not, then we'll leave it as a tzarach iyun. I'll leave you just with one last thought. So, because at least this one will close up. So, there's always the story. And then I think the beauty of the Torah is that the Torah still has like relevance. We could like have these discussions nowadays and bring the Torah to life. So Rabbi Israel also, I thought it was like an interesting one. He said, like, you know, as your kids get older and you have more conversations and deeper conversations and more significant ones about the stories, he said, like, Vayita Karem and Vayeshmen Ayayin Vayishkar Vayikal B'tocha Olo is an opportunity to really, like, have a discussion about, like, the power of what alcohol does. And while on the one hand, right, we do believe that Yayin is necessary, like, we're Mekadesh on Yayin, it's part of many ceremonies, but it is also an opportunity to like look at the destructive quality of wine and show that like there is a healthy balance of what works and what doesn't work. So I guess that's like a nice, you know, real like tachlis one that you could have with your family. But in general, I think we have creation or decreation, recreation. And then we have Noach's attempt to go into Gan Eden, and we have, you know, once again, a fail by mankind. I guess the one nice thing about the parasha is, for the first time, we're left with a real character at the end of the parasha that has hope and promise. Meaning, when we see Noach at the end of last week, we still sit there and say, like, we sigh because we know it's not going to end up working out so well. At least at the end, you know, just by the time Noach dies, right, we have Avram already on the scene, and Avram is already like making waves and making changes. All right.